Batman Begins. 40 Anos Atrás, directed by Christopher Nolan, starring Christian Bale, Michael Caine, Liam Neeson, Kate Holmes, Rachel Dawes, Gary Oldman. A dark and foreboding film with a serious noir twist, as Gotham tends to be. For me, some of the most profound scenes commenced in the beginning sequences of the movie during the temple scenes, wherein it is established that the Caped Crusader is indeed a ninja, which explains much of his exploits, from agility to ingenuity, amazing strength to stamina and boundless energy, the skill and the training, the expertise and weaponry, the self-discipline and determination, the psychological projections and invisibility, all of these and more taught through ninjutsu. Here, ninjas represent a balancing force in nature, the legion of shadows who go forth into human civilization when excesses are reached. Ra's al Ghul, Ken Watanabe, is present here, the veritable Shidoshi, and Dukard, Liam Neeson, Wayne's mentor and sensei, who rescued him from the clutches of a filthy prison, which was the result of his own fierce exploration. For those familiar with the origins of the Batman Chronicles, we know how the Dark Knight originates through unfortunate and tragic events concerning the rotten dregs of the underbelly of society, and this adversity caused the inspired greatness of this tenebrous form, eventually leading him upon a personal journey to find his place within nature and to plunge the darkest recesses of his own shadow side. As shadowmancy is accessed and utilized, one's inner monsters employ towards beneficial endeavors. His primary foe herein is the Scarecrow, a mental health professional who has developed a psychotropic narcotic in aerosol form, which bestows hallucinogenic torment upon those so afflicted. Combined with his fear mask, essentially a blank slate, a veritable canvas for the victims to paint the gruesome forms of their own horrors. Quite ingenious, actually. The ever-carnal Bruce Wayne arrays himself with fleshly pleasures when not in his alter ego, including a superb women and finery of all sorts. He surprised the residents in his own company when he one day returned from the frozen tundras of Tibet to Gotham City, feeding his demonic appetite when opportunity allowed. He does have somewhat of a love interest in Rachel Dawes, Kitty Holmes, a childhood sweetheart, yet their extreme professions frequently take them in sweeping dramatic directions. There is a clue in the film's conclusion which opens for the idea of a sequel and even the probable character. I found the film's primary focus to be that of a shadowmantic nature, that is, accessing the primal fears buried in the subconscious and surfacing them to either terrify or edify according to the fortitude of the subject. Batman Begins is a welcomed evolution in the Batman saga, considering the former two jokes previously produced, which obviously catered to the slovenly herd, and although this character is one of comic book legendary, the personality absolutely displays de facto qualities of the satanic mindset and has remained a prototypal devil throughout.
Satan represents vengeance instead of turning the other cheek.
We'll be right back. Love one another, it has been said, is the supreme law. But what power made it so? Upon what rational authority does the gospel of love rest? Why should I not hate mine enemies and hunt them down like the most vicious of all beasts that they are? If I love them, does that not place me at their mercy? Is it natural for enemies to do good unto each other? And what is good? Can the torn and bloody victim love the blood-splashed jaws that rend him limb from limb? Are we not all predatory animals by instinct? If humans ceased wholly from preying upon each other, could they continue to exist? Is not lust and carnal desire a more truthful term to describe love when applied to the continuance of the race? Is not the love of the fawning scriptures simply a euphemism for sexual activity, or was the great teacher an emasculated milksop who glorified eunuchs? Love your enemies and do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you as the despicable philosophy of the spaniel that rolls upon its back when kicked. Hate your enemies with a whole heart. And if a man smite you on one cheek, smash him on the other. Smite him hip and thigh, for self-preservation is the highest law. He who turns the other cheek is a cowardly dog. Give blow for blow, scorn for scorn, doom for doom, with compound interest liberally added thereunto. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, yea, fourfold, a hundredfold. Make yourself a terror to your adversary. And when he goeth his way, he will possess much additional wisdom to ruminate over. Thus shall you make yourself respected in all the walks of life, and your spirit, your immortal spirit, shall live, not in an intangible paradise, but in the brains and sinews of those whose respect you have gained.
Thank you.
Enter the Ninja. 15 Anno Satanas. Directed by Golan Globus. Starring Shoko Sugi, Franco Nero, Susan George, Christopher George, Alex Courtney, Will Hare. It's a ninja. Professional soldier. Specializing in espionage and assassination. Shoko Sugi. The film begins with a very impressive display of weaponry, skills by none other than Shoko Sugi in full ninja uniform, including Sai, Shinobi Katana, Tonfa, Nunchaku, Manriki, Bola, Blowgun, Shuriken, Bow and Arrow, and Spear Staff. Blend into white ninja, color indicative of novice apprentice, amidst the wilderness undergoing his final Law of the Jungle test until recognized as full ninja caliber. He is attacked by several red ninjas on his way back to the dojo, expertly defending himself until facing the Shidoshi himself, shockingly beheading him before entering for judgment. This was a mere test to decipher whether or not he would be able to assassinate someone familiar to him to fulfill a mission, as many times an enemy would employ such illusionary tactics to distract from the task at hand. In quite a moving scene, he is admonished by the Shidoshi to proclaim the Kujikiri, the nine levels of power, while gesticulating the symbolic finger knitting, which are 1. Rin, strength of mind and body. 2. Kyo, direction of energy. 3. To, harmony with the universe. 4. Sha, healing of self and others. 5. Kai, premonition of danger. 6. Jin, knowing the thoughts of others. 7. Letsu, mastery of time and space. 8. Zai, control of the elements of nature. 9. Zen, enlightenment. The ninja is a highly disciplined mystic warrior, as it were, a veritable assassin warlock, utilizing the forces of nature to one's benefit, both manipulating and cooperating the chi energy within and without, permeating matter and ether as one, practicing the multi-levels of mind and body, to develop absolute harmony and grace with one's inner and outer nature. Ninjutsu Ryu, or Ninpo, is a true martial art. Unfortunately, due to ignorance and probably fear, cinematically at least, ninja figures seem to be sometimes erroneously depicted as mere hoodlums or fumbling dime-a-dozen henchmen. Obviously, with some research on the subject, one will realize that this is not the case. Historically, the ninja was hired as a private assassin for rival families and rulerships because of the feudal environment. The ninja had to be the foremost martial artisan, and was in fact the most advanced of the kind. Turns out the white-clad ninja is an American, an obvious Frank Dux inspiration, named Cole, who gains the animosity of another student named Hasegawa, Shoko Sugi, who holds in grudge against Westerners learning the ancient secret art. He is a descendant of the original nine Ryu families, and feels divulging the art is sort of a sacrilege, although Cole certainly proved worthy and earned it by merit, which is the sign of superiority. Merit not inherit, as a certain Magus so precisely and concisely stated. Now that he is ninja of the highest order, Cole departs to the Philippines where he meets up with old war buddy Frank Landers, and soon learns of the local corruption besetting a village committed by the resident mafia, whose rather bratty boss desires the oil-enriched land for profit. A vile little toad of a man named Siegfried Schultz, with a hook for a hand, harasses a local shopkeeper who did not pay on time, and thus begins the contention between the underground organization and the one-man army Cole has become, who dispatches all antagonistic forces geared his way, which angers unscrupulous CEO Charles Venerius, and through a deceitful subordinate hires his own ninja from the very same dojo, none other than Hasegawa. As a side note, Cole eventually attracts the amorous attention of his friend Frank's wife, Mary Ann, a sinewy blonde desperate for affection, upon which they indulge in a tryst after She radiates the mating signal through a sheer negligee. Hasegawa abducts Marianne, and Landers beats his end by Hasegawa's shogi blade. Memory sequences include a couple of memorable quotes, both in Vietnam. Landers: "Now that the war is over, I'm gonna find myself a good woman and live till I'm 100. You, Cole, find another war." So, after gaining justice by lethal punishment upon Venerius, Cole and Hasegawa battle to the death with honor, tenacity, and skill. Liberal uses of smoke bombs, extraordinary acrobatics, stealth, and bloody kills. One particularly notable kill was Hasegawa's extermination of a guard using shuko, or the metal claws also used for climbing. Two genital attacks, including Schultz's hook on a thug and Cole's tonfa on a guard. Enter the Ninja was released during the latter part of the martial arts pop fascination of the 70s and early 80s, and distinguished itself by representing ninpo principles, such as the aforementioned kujikiri, indigenous weaponry, and some techniques, all under the expert supervision of Shoko Sugi, also the master technical advisor. An actual ninpo practitioner, who along with Frank Dux, earned some ire from traditionalists in the old country, but did manage to add an enhanced perspective on this enigmatic historical character known as Ninja. This is the first of the trilogy. The other two are Revenge of the Ninja and Ninja 3 The Domination, also by Golan Globus, the American Ninja Trilogy.
We'll be right back.
the Master. Lee Van Cleef. A face haunting the silver screen as various villainous spaghetti western cowboys in black throughout his career, as he always opted for the bad guy. This presentation was in fact one of the factors which motivated me to later pursue ninjutsu, after the martial arts basics of Taekwondo were mastered, like training wheels for the serious martial artist, who wishes to pursue a deeper understanding and practice of the Eastern martial mysteries. Ninjutsu is about the most profound one can delve into, in my opinion, and I have noticed several parallels with Satanism. In fact, the elemental Four Crowned Princes of Hell, also delineated as the compass points with incredibly similar characteristics described in the Satanic Bible. The art of misdirection, ninja magic, clouding the opponent's brain, visualization, meditation, transformation, the use of greater and lesser magical principles, self-discipline, etc. I definitely recommend the Satanist to train in the martial arts in one form or another, as this is a fundamental feature to mastering the physical realm, as in physical superiority. As one of the points of the infernal alignment, and this of course is linked with the ascending order of evolution as one transgresses and masters the levels of being. Flying guillotine. Driven by justified vengeance, a blind hermit monk with hefty eyebrows goes forth from his home in the clouds, high above upon a mountain, to avenge two of his pupils, seeking the one-armed man responsible. And as we know in Chinese cinema, all monks are masters in kung fu. But what was most remarkable is the weapon he wields, literally a flying guillotine, actually an ingenious design and idea in theory, in which, when unraveled from its compact form, reveals what appears essentially like a red and black beekeeper's hat with five crisscrossing blades at its inner base, and a saw blade designed along the outer edges, which, when thrown, a mesh enclosure is activated, descending around the head and neck of the opponent, decapitating them, as the head is retrieved by the thrower. The first kill transpires in a bar, in which a drunken bum claims to be an invincible one-armed fighter in order to get out of paying the bill for his dinner. The monk just so happens to be nearby awaiting his vegetarian noodles, and forthwith dispatches of the dreg, swearing to kill every one-armed man he sees. The second kill happens at the actual tournament, upon which another one-armed fighter was present. The one-armed man turns out to be a kung fu instructor who becomes alerted to the monk's intentions at the tournament during several schools and styles, including a Mongolian with a Vlad-like mustache, an Indian with extending arms, a Tibetan kickboxing fighter, here characterized as a filthy barefoot and uncouth barbarian, staff versus tri-staff, tonfa, wielded by a mysterious cloaked Japanese contender, a lovely girl proficient in the eagle claw, the always amusing monkey style versus snake style, praying mantis, etc. And I am sure much of Mortal Kombat was based upon this movie, and thus sets out to plan his clever methods of self-preservation. Finally, the monk finds the kung fu teacher and pursues him into a coffee shop, temporarily converted into a battleground in which traps have been arranged. So essentially, he realizes that he was no match for the magnificent weapon and cheats his way to survival. And with the help of his students, manages to kill the aforementioned kickboxer who also happened to become the monk's assistant. In an exceedingly cruel manner of lighting him in a small shack with a metal floor, which had been fire-heated in order to singe the flesh from the soles of the feet, any attempt to flee out of the window was met with spears. Also notable are the garments worn by the monk, most particularly the grammaton on his robe, lest it be confused with the Nazi swastika, thus asserting that this is indeed an ancient symbol signifying the four elements, a Chinese character which means 10,000 and longevity. It was originally a symbol of Buddha's heart, and was a term borrowed from Sanskrit. Oh, ho, ho.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There were funky Chinamen from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up. They were chopping them. Chinese art, and everybody knew their part. From a fainting to a slip, and a kicking from the hip, everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. Yeah, yeah. But they fought with expert timing.
The 5 Points of Victory by Sun Tzu, The Art of War. 1. He who knows when he can fight and when he cannot will be victorious. 2. He who understands how to fight in accordance with the strength of antagonistic forces will be victorious. 3. He whose ranks are united in purpose will be victorious. 4. He who is well prepared and lies in wait for an enemy who is not well prepared will be victorious. 5. He whose generals are able and not interfered with by the sovereign will be victorious. It is in these 5 matters that the way to victory is known. Therefore I say, know the enemy and know yourself. In 100 battles you will never be defeated. When you are ignorant of the enemy but know yourself, your chances of winning or losing are equal. If ignorant both of your enemy and of yourself, you are sure to be defeated in every battle.
And fight. 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 And dance with the devil. With the devil!
what is good? Everything that heightens the feeling of power in man. The will to power. Power itself. What is bad? Everything that is born of weakness. What is happiness? The feeling that power is growing, that resistance is overcome. Not contentedness, but more power. Not peace, but war. Not virtue, but fitness. The weak and the failure shall perish. First principle of our love of man. And they shall even be given every possible assistance. What is more harmful than any vice? Active pity for all the failures and all the weak. Christianity.
Attack and defense, suffering and struggle, victory and defeat, domination and servitude, all sealed with blood. This states the entire history of the human race.
Go! where they go now. There go all my friends. There they go now, marching off to war again.
Thank you for attending. I bid you sit well and take that which tempts whenever you can. Hail Satan, unpleasant nightmares. So it is done.